When you think about renewable energy in Alaska, what comes to mind? Probably wind, which contributes about 3% of the state's power generation, and maybe solar panels, which are starting to gain a little bit of momentum. But there's also the potential for what lies along 6,500 miles of coastline. And Ask the Energy Desk listener wanted to know, why isn't Alaska using more wave or tidal energy? Reporter Elizabeth Jenkins found the answer.
I think the highest wave we measured when we were there was on the order of 20 feet.
That's Jeremy Casper speaking about the coastline of Yakutat. Those gnarly waves make the Southeast Village a good spot to surf. But that's not the reason Casper has gone there in the past. He's part of a team at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, studying the feasibility of generating power from the movement of the water.
You know, I think this is a worthwhile technology because it basically fills in a niche.
A niche that can't be filled by hydropower dams. Yakutat is home to about 600 people, and it's powered using a diesel generator. Casper says the village's geography and weather patterns make other types of renewable energy a challenge. He thinks solar could work in the summer when there's increased demand for energy and the fish plants in operation. But when it comes to displacing Yakutat's diesel fuel for the rest of the year,
wave is probably their best option.
In 2009, a study by the Electric Power Research Institute backed that up. It was funded by the U.S. Department of Energy. And it estimated that for under $1 million, Yakutat could install one wave energy converter. For reference, it would take about 15 of those to supply half of Yakutat's energy needs. Casper says the village has completed a number of the early studies for its federal permitting. Still, there's no planned timeline for an installation yet.
So there's a lot of work being done in the state, but there's just not a lot of technologies that are ready to be put in the water.
Part of the reason wave or tidal energy carries such a steep price tag is because the technology is so new. With wind or solar energy, there's an established chain of supply and demand, decades of upgrades and improvements,
and the ability to mass manufacture.
That's Chris Rose, the director of the nonprofit Renewable Energy Alaska Project. On its website, the organization refers to the potential of wave and tidal energy as, quote, a gold mine, albeit one that needs more time and investment.
So right now, what you have with tidal energy and wave energy and even in-river hydrokinetics is the developers who are still trying to perfect their design before they go out and make 10,000 of them.
Yakutat isn't the only place in Alaska looking at this type of renewable energy. In 2014, a company based in Maine successfully generated a small amount of power from the current of a river near the village of Igiagig. And that same company has explored using Cook Inlet's massive tides as an energy source. Although there's still more work to be done to measure the impacts on marine life, like endangered beluga whales. Jeremy Casper says the impact on fish is also something Yakutat needs to cross off its list before seriously considering wave energy. But he doesn't think the development of the technology is too far off.
They could conceivably be in the water in a couple of years. So, and getting to that point, though, is a matter of figuring out how to pay for those installations.
In the meantime, he'll go back to Yakutat in May to do another study. And possibly, he says, try to catch some waves. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Juneau.